When God gave the Ten Commandments, what He gave were the very simple beginning building blocks of relationships. We know that. When we look at those Ten Commandments, we see that each one of them tells us something about holiness. The one true God. Don't take His name in vain. Don't use idols. The Sabbath is a holy day set apart by God. We know that there are two commandments that deal directly with family. One, thou shalt not commit adultery, which shows the sanctity or the holiness of marriage. That marriage is ordained by God and that it is holy and it is sanctified, and committing adultery is a sin. It's something that's directly against God. But there's another commandment that sometimes we don't put as much weight to, and yet is just as important. The fifth commandment, where He tells children to honor their father and mother. Parenthood is sanctified by God. You know, thou shalt not murder shows that there's a sanctification. Human life has value to God. We're not supposed to take each other's lives unless God gives permission to. Parenthood is sanctified by God. It is set up and established by God. So much so that parenthood is protected by one of the Ten Commandments. Honor your mother and your father. In the New Testament, the Apostle Paul gives this to children. I'm going to talk to just children today, but all of us are children, right? All of us have had parents. So this is for everybody today. You know, as I go through this, I'll show you the application of this commandment no matter what your age is. Ephesians chapter 6. Ephesians chapter 6. Verse 1. Children, obey your parents in the Lord, for this is right. Children, obey your parents in the Lord. Now, as you're older, that's a very important statement. You know, if you're 20 years old and your parents say, don't keep the Sabbath, you're actually not to obey them. It's in the Lord. But as a child, the younger you are, you know, of course, your parents, you have to trust and rely on your parents. Obey them in the Lord, for this is right. And here's the support for His commandment. I mean, Paul gives a command here. Children, obey your parents. That's a command. And here's His support. He goes back to that one of the Ten Commandments that sanctifies and set apart parenthood. He says, honor your father and mother, which is the first commandment with promise, that it may be well with you, that you may live long on the earth. Honor your father and mother. Now he says here, if you honor your father and your mother, you're going to obey them in the Lord. The word honor here is what I really want to zero in on today, because honor is an important word. To honor something or to honor someone, it means that you hold it in the highest value. To you, it is most important. To honor your parents means that you hold them in such value that you will treat them with respect. You will treat them with respect. You will give them honor. It's a very important word. Honor eventually is a choice. We all choose what we honor and what we don't honor. What we hold in high value, every one of us decides. We will honor this, we will honor that. Many people spend their lives honoring wrong things. But here we're told to honor our parents. Now, if you're a parent or have been a parent, or if you're a grandparent, how many times have you yelled at your children trying to get them to honor you? Or you've punished your children trying to get them to honor you? Or you've talked to other parents and said, I just don't understand, my kids are so rebellious, I can't get them to honor me, and they just show me disrespect. And we've all seen that look a teenager can give. The eyes roll back, the face sort of smirks, and it's like, you must be the stupidest person on the face of the earth, right? And we know that's a sign of dishonor, of disrespect. How do we teach children honor? How do we teach them honor? You say, well, come on, the commandment says honor me. Honor is taught. Honor is taught. It is important to understand that the most important tool you have in teaching children honor, it doesn't matter whether you're the parent or the child. It doesn't matter whether you're 30 years old and your parent is 55. This still applies, okay? It doesn't say honor your parents until you leave home. That's not what it says. Honor your father and your mother. It's talking about the sanctity of parenthood. Just like thou shalt not commit adultery establishes the sanctity of marriage. This is why it is so important that we defend the family unit, mother and father together, raising their children in marriage. But for our children to actually give honor to us as parents, us as grandparents, we have to model what honor is. And the greatest teaching tool you have is your example. The greatest teaching tool you have in teaching honor, because it's learned, is in your example. In fact, many times when we are receiving dishonor and disrespect from children, and this isn't all the time, because we're not the only influence on our children. That world and Satan has a strong influence on our children. But sometimes the reason you're receiving disrespect and dishonor is because you've modeled the behavior of disrespect and dishonor. And so they're simply modeling the behavior back. So what do we do? How do we teach children? And how as we as adults in our relationship to our children and our relationship to our parents? No matter what our age, grandparents, how do we teach honor? All honor, and this is the premise for the entire sermon. All honor begins with honoring God. As a Christian, all honor begins with honoring God. And that means our first point is going to be parents teach children honor by first honoring God themselves. Parents teach children honor by first honoring God themselves. Because children eventually, you know, honor your father and your mother, for this is the fifth commandment. If they do not honor God, what importance does that have to them? Look, God says this. I don't care what God says. The Bible says this. So what? I don't care what the Bible says. We could use the Bible as a club, but if they don't honor God, or if they have a viewpoint of God that God is only angry and bitter and out to get them, if they don't honor God, your biblical support will mean nothing to them. And so the first thing we have to think about in the fifth commandment is not how do I make my kids honor me, but how am I honoring God and teaching them to honor God? So that one day they look at the fifth commandment and say, I'm supposed to do that. Because I honor God, I understand I'm supposed to do that. So that means we must first and foremost, as parents, teach our children to honor God, to see Him worthy of honor and worthy of praise because He is good and worthy of obedience because of His greatness. Sometimes I've seen people say, well, if I could just keep my children in the church, how do you do that? Well, let's see. If we have more preteen activities, I'll keep my children in the church. Well, believe me, we have plenty of preteen activities, so I believe in preteen activities. But you know, preteen activities and keeping your children in the church, or teen activities and keeping your children in the church, is not the first thing you should think about. The first thing you should think about is, am I turning my children to God? You know, it is God who selects people to be in His church. You and I can't even keep our own children in the church if God doesn't select them. It is God who calls people, and it is our children's response to God that will decide what they eventually do. And so our very first priority should always be turning the hearts of our children to God. If we turn our hearts of our children simply to, quote unquote, the church, we might end up with a nice social club. What we want are people, what God wants are people in His body and body of Christ who have turned to God first. That's the first priority. It's not a matter of what we do, it's the matter of priorities. You know, if you get your priorities out of order, you can be doing the right thing and still fail. The first priority is to honor God with our lives, and it is to teach our children to honor God, to hold God in such value, such esteem, that they, you know, as a parent, I can remember this. Remember the first time you walked in the room and there's your little children praying out loud, not because you told them to? And they may be saying the silly things to God, you know. Or, God, that little boy next door that keeps calling me names, would you please beat him up for me? Okay. But you know what they're doing. They've connected enough to say, God's bigger than everything. And God can help me. And God will take care of me. Turning our hearts to their children by having them honor God. Holding Him in esteem. Having faith in His goodness. Having faith in His greatness. Also fearing what it means to rebel against Him. We should fear what it is to rebel against God. When the prophet Samuel was very young, of course, he lived with Eli, the high priest. And Eli had his sons profaned their jobs. They didn't honor God. Here they were, priests in the tabernacle, and they used their jobs to take advantage of women. They used their job to take people's money. And they profaned and dishonored God. After years of this, it's amazing how God is so patient at times with people who are profaning Him, showing Him dishonor. What happened was He finally sent a prophet to talk to Eli. Let's go to 1 Samuel chapter 2. This is a very important passage for parents. 1 Samuel chapter 2. Verse 27. 1 Samuel chapter 2, verse 27. Then a man of God came to Eli and said to him, "Thus says the Lord, did I not clearly reveal myself to the house of your father when they were in Egypt, in Pharaoh's house? Did I not choose him out of all the tribes of Israel to be my priest?" Talking about Aaron, of course. "And to offer upon my altar, to burn incense, and to wear an ephod before me. Did I not give to the house of your father all the offerings of the children of Israel made by fire?" He says, "Eli, did I not choose you because I chose your ancestors, and I've worked through that family all these years? I've worked through that family because each father was supposed to pass on to the children the ways of God. Each father was supposed to teach his sons what it is to be the priest of God." And so you have the Levitical family. You know, the Levites were a tribe of people, men and women whose jobs were to train the next generation and the next generation and the next generation of priests. And Eli didn't do it anymore. He didn't train the next generation of priests. He let his sons do whatever they want. And so in verse 29 it says, "Why do you kick at my sacrifices and my offering, which I commanded in my dwelling place, and honor your sons more than me, to make yourselves fat with the best of all the offerings of Israel, my people?" You want to sow the seeds of dishonor in your family? And I've seen many, many families do this. Honor your children more than you honor God. Hold your children in such high esteem that you'll let them do whatever they want. Say, well, I don't want to make my children be honest, or, you know, I don't want my children to suffer, you know, because of their Christianity. I don't want my children to miss out. I don't want my children to keep the Sabbath. They miss out on so much if they keep the Sabbath. And you honor your children more than God. Probably never thought of it that way before, did you? Because it means you do not believe that God will bless them. You do not believe that God will take care of them. You do not honor God. You know, even in Isaiah it says, if you will honor me on the Sabbath day. So what we do is we actually allow our children to dishonor God. And we honor our children more than God. Whatever you honor above God is showing dishonor towards God. Think about that. It's a form of idolatry is what it is. Whatever you honor above God is a form of dishonor to God. Do we teach our children to actually dishonor God by us dishonoring God? You know, you have and I have a commission from God to create a God-centered family. You know, as a parent, I don't do that anymore. My children are all grown, but it's interesting. As a grandparent, I do that. I've always find it interesting when my 6-year-old granddaughter comes up and asks me questions about God. Because I think she believes I'm old enough to probably know Him personally from the time of Noah or something. But now go to Grandpa. He'll know this. He'll know this. We have that responsibility. And when we don't, we sow the seeds of dishonor, them dishonoring us. Why is it our children don't want to obey God's way? Sometimes it's because we did not teach them to honor God's way. And sometimes we actually honored our children, or we honored our children more than we honor God. In reality, I want to talk about honor for a second here, a little different little sidebar here, but when we talk about honor and the giving of honor to God, many times as human beings, people will defend their honor. I must defend my honor. I must defend my reputation. Well, many times we have to be careful, because if our mindset is I must defend my honor, then we're not centered on honoring God. We're centering on honoring ourselves. There's a man in the Bible that had that problem. Now, we all know the story of Saul, right? 1 Samuel. 1 Samuel 15. Let's go to 1 Samuel 15. Samuel now is an older man. He had lived with Eli. He had seen what God had done with Eli and his family. He now is dealing with Saul as the first king. And I just want to bring out, we know the story here, I just want to bring out a couple points. Saul was told by God to go and kill the Amalekites and destroy all their animals and their king and everybody. And God wanted them punished. They were an evil people, and God said, go kill them. And we know what Saul did. He went and killed a lot of the people, but kept all the animals, kept the king, came back in glory, came back in great honor. The army and the people honored Saul, held him up in great honor. You know, Saul was a man whose security was based on other people honoring him. His life was based on other people honoring him. And the worst thing that could happen to Saul was that people didn't give him honor. That's the worst thing that can happen to him. Because his life was based on that. Samuel had learned his life was based on honoring God. Honoring God. Notice what happens in verse 12. Verse 12 of 1 Samuel 15. So when Samuel rose early in the morning to meet Saul, it was told Samuel, saying, Saul went up to Carmel, and indeed he set up a monument for himself, and he has gone on around, passed by, and gone down to Gilgal. Saul had slipped away from living a life honoring God to, I am God's anointed, I am God's chosen, and so his life was centered around honoring himself. And you and I have to be careful about that. We can be teaching our children self-righteousness and not even know it. Because we know God's way, we've lived God's way all our lives, we've seen God active in our lives. I mean, we keep the Sabbath, we keep the holy days, we do all these things. And we sort of get to the place where we feel like we deserve something in life. Hey, I've been doing this for 40 years. I've been doing it for 50 years. You know, I deserve something in life. And we get to this place where we believe we deserve honor. And we start seeking honor. Instead of living a life dedicated to one thing. The honor of God and Jesus Christ. If our lives are centered on honoring God and Jesus Christ, we live a certain way. If our lives are centered on honoring ourselves, it may look the same. Very much the same behavior, but it won't be the same. Because the motivation is different. We see here Saul's motivation. Part of that is just an insecurity. I need other people's honor to feed who I am. My identity is based on other people honoring me. We can teach our children that. It's just a form of self-righteousness. If our life is centered on honoring God, and their lives then are established on honoring God, they won't have such a need to have other people feed their egos. Because their substance will come from God. It's very interesting. Samuel approaches, of course, Saul, and says, God's going to take the kingdom away from you. Verse 28. Well, let's just get down to verse 30. Here is Saul's response to Samuel saying, God's going to take the kingdom away from you. Then he said, I have sinned. I have sinned. Think of what David said. I have sinned before the Lord, dropped to his knees, and said nothing else. That's David, right? David was stripped of everything except the ugliness of his own sin. Dropped on his knees and said, I have sinned before God. Saul says, I have sinned. Yet, honor me now, please, before the elders of my people and before Israel, and return with me that I may worship the Lord your God. Honor me. If you walk away from me, these people won't honor me anymore. And without their honor, I'm just nothing. Without their esteem, without their acclaim, without this fame, without this acclamation from others, I am nothing. Honor me, Samuel. I wonder what would have been different if he would have said, I have sinned. I wish to honor God. And I wish God to forgive me. And if not, then he will take my life as I deserve. I wonder what would have happened. So we have to teach our children to honor God. But here's one of the most difficult lessons to learn in life. Sometimes to honor God means that you reap dishonor from other human beings. Sometimes to honor God, you reap dishonor from other human beings. Other human beings put you down. Other human beings say it's silly. Other human beings say, you know, like we heard in the sermonette, Ah, you're just an old Scrooge. Christmas is good. We don't care if it's not in the Bible. What do? You hate little kids? Right? To honor God, sometimes we receive dishonor from others. And if we need the honor of other people. Now, I'm not saying it's not bad to receive honor from other people. When we deserve honor and other people give us honor, that's a wonderful thing. But if that's what you feed on, if that's what you emotionally need all the time, eventually you're going to dishonor God. And this is what our children have to understand. Sometimes you sort of stand alone when you honor God. Sometimes you sort of stand alone. And you receive dishonor from other people. But you know, there's also a promise that we can hold on to in John chapter 12. John chapter 12. A promise from Jesus Christ. John 12, verse 25. He who loves his life will lose it. He who hates his life in this world will keep it for eternal life. Say, look, this isn't easy sometimes. Sometimes you lose a lot during life, during this life, to receive eternal life. Verse 26 says, if anyone serves me, Jesus says, if you want to serve me, and you're going to dedicate your life to serving me, let him follow me. Now I want you to think about all the dishonor that the great King of Kings received during his physical life. Now God the Father says, I will make all people bow before him. Every person that ever lived, even those going into the lake of fire, will bow before him. He says, everybody will honor him. But you know, he didn't receive a lot of honor in this life, did he? So he says, I want you to follow me. And sometimes in honoring God, we lose families or friends or co-workers who show us dishonor. Jesus knows, Jesus Christ knows, isn't what he did? Isn't what he received for his obedience to God? If anyone serves me, let him follow me. And where I am, there my servant will also be. Now this is what I find very interesting in this promise. If anyone serves me, him my Father will what? Honor. That's a very... For me, that's one of those mind-blowing, you know, what's the commercial? Concepts. Christ said, you follow me, and my Father will honor you. He will hold you in high esteem. That's an amazing statement. He will give you honor you do not have. We just went through the Feast of Tabernacles where we heard over and over again in the messages how we are being prepared to serve Jesus Christ as kings and priests, and how we need to learn that now. We have to learn it now. This is our training ground. This is where we are prepared for what God is doing. And he says, you follow me in that, Jesus says, and my Father will honor you. He literally will make you a king and a priest. He literally will give you honor. But sometimes that means you have to receive dishonor in this life for doing what is right. Hard thing to understand. It's a hard thing for children to understand. So our first point is parents teach, children honor by first honoring God themselves. You honor God. You live a life dedicated to God and Jesus Christ. And in that, they learn what honor is. When they learn and see sometimes how you are dishonored for doing what's right, but you do what's right anyways. They learn what real honor is, to honor God. Now, the second way we teach children honor, it's all good. This is where we get to spank them. Now, that's a whole different subject, okay? That's a whole different subject. The second way we teach children honor as parents is we honor each other. 1 Peter chapter 3. How many times is this passage read in a marriage sermon? I want you to think about this from a child's viewpoint. I want you to think about this as a child watching parents. Now, what do they learn by watching parents do this? Wives, likewise, be submissive to your own husbands, that even if some do not obey the word, they without a word may be won by the conduct of their wives. He says here, wives, learn to work with your husbands, even the ones who don't obey God, so that maybe that husband can be won over. Now, I want you to think about how much more may your children be won over. What do they see? You know, if you're always tearing your husband down, you're always complaining about him, all your children hear is you talking on the phone to other women, tearing your husband down. And then you're saying, I don't understand why my children don't honor my husband. Maybe it's because they learned it from you. And if they don't honor your husband, they will not honor you either. We teach children honor as parents by honoring each other. We lift each other up. The children know that we hold each other in high value. Oh, you know, they understand. It doesn't take them long to figure out that mom and dad aren't perfect. You know, children don't need perfection in parents. The security that children get from good parenting, the security that they get is because they know that you honor God and you love each other. There's nothing that gives a child more security in life than knowing that mom and dad love each other. And you know what a child needs more than anything? You say love. As they get older, you know what they need when they're real little? Security. My little grandson, who's a week old, doesn't care if you love him at all. He does care whether his stomach is full, whether he's warm, and whether he doesn't stink. And he's not even sure that's that important. But the other two are really important. And it gives him a sense of security. And when people pick him up, he feels, oh, it's okay. He doesn't say, oh, I love you, Mom. You know what love is. He knows what security is. He knows what makes him feel secure. Right? The number one thing we give children, the younger they are, is a sense of security. And what they get that from is the fact that you honor God with your life. That stability. God's there. And two, you love each other. You're going to stick together. You're going to work things out. You say good things about each other. It is absolutely paramount. And I don't care if the child is 2 or 20. It is important that mom and dad say good things about each other in front of them. I wish I had a dollar for every person that's come to me and said, I don't understand it. My parents, they were happily married. Now they're both 50 years old or 55 years old, and all they do is gripe and complain about each other, and it's got me upset. Here's a 35-year-old coming saying, I'm upset because my parents are just picking on each other all the time. I know that. I could. You say, oh, has that happened that often? Everybody comes in and say and asks me that question. I'm going to put it out of a jar and say, put $10 in it. Probably over my ministry, I could buy a new car. They're picking on each other. And they know the difference between teasing. My grandkids love when Kim and I tease each other. But if I say a harsh word to her, you should see the looks on their faces. I immediately have to do, I'm sorry. Okay? Because you're looking at little kids whose little world doesn't fit together anymore. I can't imagine children who live in abusive homes. I can't imagine what that does to them. Well, I can because I've counseled hundreds. So I can't imagine. Hundreds. Many of you came from abusive homes. Honor each other. It's never too late to start. It doesn't matter how old you are. It doesn't matter how old your kids are. Honor each other. Notice what it says in verse 7. Husbands, likewise, dwell with them with understanding, giving honor to the wife. We are told to hold them in high esteem and respect. There's other places that women are told to respect their husbands. That is a command. That's a whole other sermon I'm working on. Are commands that husbands and wives have for each other. Honor them as to the weaker vessel, as being heirs together of the grace of life, that your prayers be not hindered. I can't stress enough how much children learn about honor by watching how mom and dad treat each other. What they say, what they do, how they fix things when something's hurt. When they have a problem, they fix it. They work it out. They'll work it out. They always do. Right? That's security. Remember, they don't expect perfection. They figure that out real young. They do need security and eventually love. And they learn honor. And if you dishonor each other, they will dishonor you back. You know why? Deep inside, they have no security. And an insecure child does bad stuff. An insecure child does bad things. So, if you create insecurity by the two of you dishonoring each other, eventually you will reap dishonorable behavior from your children. Third, parents teach children honor by honoring their own parents. That's what makes the Corban vow so interesting in Matthew chapter 15. You remember the Corban vow? Let's just go ahead and turn there. Matthew 15. In the Corban vow, Matthew 15, verse 3, Jesus says to some Pharisees, "Why do you also transgress the commandment of God because of your tradition?" Now, which commandment is he going to talk about specifically here? He's going to talk about all of them, but he picks this one. "For God commanded, saying, honor your father and your mother, and he who curses father or mother, let him be put to death." He goes on and explains the Corban vow. The Corban vow was very interesting. It's in the Talmud. What it is that you go and take your estate, and you basically go into the temple and you promise it to the temple. Well, that's a pretty good thing. I give everything I have to God. Boy, I'm really honoring God, aren't I? This was in a pretense of honoring God. I give everything I have. Of course, according to the Corban vow, you got to keep it and use it until you died. Then when you died, everything went to the temple. Oh, well, good. You're honoring God. But of course, people were saying, "Oh, wait a minute, I know I have elderly parents. I know that I should take care of them, but I can't. I'm honoring God. I put God first in my life because I've given everything I have to them and to the temple. And if I spend my resources, my heritage here, if I spend it on my elderly parents, so what? They're going to die in 5 years and I have nothing left to give to God." And so it was a pretense of honoring God and dishonoring parents. Can you and I, if we're not careful, find ways to dishonor our parents? Especially as they get older. Verse 7, he calls them hypocrites because of this. In fact, he tells them in verse 6, "You've made the very law of God, the fifth commandment, of no effect." You've actually done away with that commandment. You've done away with that commandment and wiped it out through this ritual of the Corban vow. He says it's teaching the doctrines of men in verse 8 and 9. "Though I know this is difficult, because what if you came from an abusive family and here you are an adult and you're saying, I can't honor my parents. They abused me. All they did was fight. They slapped me around." This is especially hard to people who were sexually abused. The problem is, there's a couple things here. First of all, if you don't learn to let that go, it's going to harbor, we'll talk about that in a minute, something terrible inside of you. But I want you to think about something else. The cycle of dishonor will continue in your family if your children see you dishonoring your parents. You're saying, well, do I have to have a relationship with them? I didn't say that. Reconciliation, when there is a relationship requires two things. Forgiveness on the part of the person abused and repentance on the part of the person who committed the abuse. Or there cannot be reconciliation. God Himself, the Almighty Great God, who forgives, will not reconcile until there's what? Repentance. He offers the forgiveness. He begs us to forgive. He gives us the help. But if we don't repent, the relationship cannot be restored. You cannot restore a relationship with a parent who abused you, who refuses to deal with that. I'm not talking about relationship. I mean, you go back into a relationship to be abused again. No. I'm saying that you must honor that person in whatever way is possible. There's a difference between honoring the position and the person. In the military, they have a phrase, sometimes you can't salute the man, so you salute the uniform. There are times, for the sake of your children, you honor your parents, even though they've been dishonorable. That's a hard thing to do. To show honor when the other person is being dishonorable. That happens a lot, though, in life. It's the policeman that pulls you over and says you were going 70 and you weren't. And your children are sitting there. And you get in an argument with the policeman and he pulls you out and handcuffs you. This is not good for the kids to see. Sometimes you give honor to the dishonorable person because of the position that they have. And you say, oh no, that's not what happens in a democracy. We're not talking about a democracy. We're talking about the way of God. He didn't say, well, by the way, husbands, show honor to the wife only when she is honorable. Yeah. Boy, I thought I had that one now. He didn't say, wives, respect your husbands only when he's respectful. Didn't say that either. Husbands, love your wives only when she's lovable. Oh, good. I don't have to love her today. Right? If there was a caveat, love your wives except when she's unlovable, today, yeah, I'm out of here. You're unlovable today. It may be the day she needs you the most, but hey, you're unlovable today. You see what I mean? There's no caveats to those things. He didn't say honor your parents only if they're honorable. Now, what does that mean? Does that mean you take your children to your parents' house where they're going to be abused? Of course not. Of course not. But it means you don't spend all your time telling your children how evil they are. Just running them down and putting them down. And because you teach them that, that may be how they begin to see you. So you have to be very careful. Honoring your father and mother when they've been abusive doesn't mean you have to have a relationship. It simply means you have to still give them honor when honor is due. I knew a person who had been sexually abused as a child, yet every Father's Day sent a card. Because they said, I am required to honor my father. And this honors the day that he conceived me and brought me into this world, and that has value. And this person was a pretty emotionally healthy person to be able to do that. But I thought, wow, what a lesson in honor. Doing the honorable thing when the other person is dishonorable, that is tough. It is the way of God. When you refuse to honor your parents because of past hurts, A couple things happen. First, you begin to harbor resentment and anger. And you know, it's really hard. If you hate your parent, every time you look in the mirror, you see some of your parent's traits. And you begin to hate yourself. Strange thing that happens. And that anger gets turned inwards. Once you do that, you will begin, if you have just anger and hatred towards a parent, it will begin to affect every other relationship in your life. It will begin to affect every other relationship in your life. I'm going to read a story of a person. This is a real story. Gary Smalley, who is a researcher into family issues. It's a story he tells. He says, Dana's father was an alcoholic and never financially supported the family. Dana's mother had to work full time, and Dana could never have friends over because of the fear of what her father might do. Her first marriage ended after 2 years of fighting, criticism, and trying to deal with her husband's alcohol problem. Her second marriage was on the rocks when she finally sought help. The problem was that Dana's hatred for her father was causing her to relive her anger and resentment in all of her relationships. Here's what Dana told the counselor. Deep down inside, all my life, I have thought that men were nothing but sleazeballs. I couldn't even enjoy my husband holding me because he reminded me of my father. I even resented the fact, now listen to this, I even resented the fact that God gave me two boys and no girls. I want to be close to my husband and my children, and I want to be close to God, but I know that because I view them as men, I don't really trust them. See how important this is to break this cycle? To break the cycle. Doesn't mean you accept good as evil, evil as good. It doesn't mean you even have to have a relationship if there's no repentance involved. It does mean you show honor to the position of parent, because parent is a sanctified position, like marriage. It's not easy. Not easy. Fourth point, just quickly. Parents teach children honor by showing basic respect to other people. You know, in Leviticus 19:32, it says that we are to show honor to the elderly person. Do you show honor to the elderly? I have to thank my dad for a lot of things in life. But you know, one of the things that I remember from a very early age is a couple times a month, he would go out just himself, and visit the elderly people in the church that lived close by. There were three of them. And he took me with him. And I would sit there as these older people and my dad, and they were all in their 70s. They would sit and tell stories, and they acted as if, I'm like 8 years old, 9 years old. They acted as if I was one of them. And I sat there, and I'll never forget one time one of the old guys brought out some gin. And he poured a little for my dad and a little for himself, and he poured a little for me. And said, and I remember sitting there thinking, what am I supposed to do? And I looked at my dad, and he just a wee little bit, and he smiled and he shook his head. I don't think I've had gin since. But it was this unbelievable experience. I was part of them. I wasn't just part of my peer group. I was part of them. And we sat around and they told their stories and they talked and they laughed and they cried and I was there with them. That's Leviticus. Are we teaching our children that? See, I fear in the church that we have certain laws down real pat, but there's a lot of laws of God we don't even know. We don't even know. Do you talk about your boss? Complain about your boss all the time. Tear him down. They can't figure out why your kids can't stand anybody to tell them what to do at work. We plant the seeds of dishonor. Paul tells Timothy, tell the servants not to run down their masters. Well, that's what I was going to do with it, but let's go there. 1 Timothy 6. 1 Timothy 6. Verse 1, let as many bondservants that are under the yoke count their own masters worthy of all honor. But my boss isn't worthy of honor. The point is, if he pays your paycheck and you give him the best of what you can give, And it doesn't matter if he's a bad person. It doesn't matter. You do the honorable thing. You honor him. That's what it says to do. Notice the rest of the sentence. So that why? The name of God and His doctrine may not be blasphemed. You do this for the honor of God. So that when it's done, your boss says, there really is something different about you. There really is something different about you. Yeah, I didn't do it for you. I did it for the honor of God. I didn't do it because you're such a great guy. I mean, you don't have to say that. But inside, you don't want to go, I didn't do this for you. I did it because I'm honoring God. We teach children honor by showing honor and then explaining to them, sometimes, kids, for the good, for the greater good, like being able to put food on the table, yes, I have to live with a bad boss till I get another job. But I will honor him. Yes, I know he's a bad guy, and I know he's a bad boss, and yes, when he talks to me, I say yes, sir, or no, sir. I know that sounds old-fashioned, but that's what Paul, he says. And you know what? Verse 1, he's not talking about employers that are in the church. You know how I know that? Because verse 2 says, and those who have believing masters, so he says, first of all, honor them to show them the Lord. Then in verse 2 he says, now if you have a believing master, if you're working for someone that's in the church, and he talks about how to deal with them. But verse 1 isn't dealing with employers in the church. It's dealing with employers outside the church. And most of them aren't good people to work for, are they? So why do we do it? Why do we give them honor? Because God says to. For the greater good. And when we do, God says, remember the promise. God will honor. Jesus said, you follow me. And Jesus was greatly dishonored in his life. He says, you follow me. And what I find interesting is, Jesus never brought dishonor even on Pontius Pilate. Now, someday Pontius Pilate's going to kneel before Jesus, and that's going to be I really want to see that day. That's going to be an interesting thing to watch. Or the Sanhedrin, the members of the Sanhedrin are going to have to kneel before him. I imagine that's going to be some really scared individuals. Because they will now honor Jesus Christ. So we have four basic concepts here, as parents, as grandparents, as children, in understanding that fifth commandment. Parents teach children honor by first honoring God. That's the basis of everything. If we live our lives trying to build up our own honor, trying to have others honor us, eventually we'll end up like Saul, dishonoring God. Two, parents teach children honor by honoring each other as husband and wife. And that is vital in the development of little children. You know, a small child has a hard time understanding God, but they understand parents. So in very, very small children, before you can even teach them about God, how the parents treat each other is very important. Number three, parents teach children honor by honoring their own parents. And sometimes you really can't have a relationship with them, but you still show them some kind of honor by not just tearing them down in front of the children. You know, that's an old concept. Remember, people always would say, oh, who's Uncle Bill? Well, we don't talk about Uncle Bill. Okay, he's the guy in jail. We don't talk about Uncle Bill. And number four, parents teach children honor by showing honor to others, even at times when the other person is dishonorable or doing a dishonorable thing because it's the right thing to do. It doesn't mean you honor everybody. I do not honor most of the politicians of the United States. I do honor their positions. See, I can say that. I can say that. I can say I do not have a great deal of honor towards Mr. Obama, but but I still will call him Mr. Obama. They say, well, boy, that's hypocritical. No, 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 no. That's understanding when it says, honor the king. It's a command in Romans. Honor the king. He's my present king. Well, physically. He's the president. So he will be Mr. Obama. Or Mr. President. That's honor. Where do I get that from? Because that sure goes against the way we think in our society, right? Because the Bible says so. It's a whole different viewpoint than what is normal for you and me. And if I ever met him, I would be as respectful as I know how. And I would call him Mr. President. If he asked my opinion, I'd say, repent. Because see, my boss tells me to do that. Okay? My true king tells me to do that. I'd like that opportunity someday. I hope I could stand before the president and be very respectful and say, repent. I doubt if I ever get that opportunity. It's a different concept. When we do these things as parents, as grandparents, as children, we honor our common parent. We have a common parent. It's God the Father. We have a common brother, it's Jesus Christ. And we're all becoming part of one family that He's created. They reap the fruit of honor. And I want you to really think about this. This is what I want to leave you with. To reap the fruit of honor, you must sow the seeds of honor.